There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Brian Koberger.
Judge Stephen Hippler just sent a crystal clear message to Brian Koberger's defense team. Stop stalling. Because this trial, it's happening. Well, at least that's what, you know, he's signaling to them as of right now. On June 18th, 2025, during a pretrial hearing that might have changed everything, Hippler looked at the defense's attempts to delay and basically said, it's likely you're going to go to trial on the date indicated. Pretty much, you know, spelling it out. That's what's going to be happening. After nearly 3 years of waiting, the August 11th trial date is looking more solid than ever. Here's what went down in that Idaho courtroom. Just the other day, Ann Taylor, leading Koberger's defense, came in with two major motions. She hoped would buy her client some more time. The first was all about media coverage, and honestly, she had the point. Taylor focused on that NBC Dateline episode from May 9th that leaked information that was supposed to be under seal. Talking about Koberger's phone records, showing 23 connections near the victim's home, his internet searches, his Amazon purchase history, stuff the jury pool, well, maybe shouldn't have seen yet. At least that was the plan, anyway. Taylor argued that this coverage had particularly challenged their ability to find impartial jurors when potential jurors have already seen supposed evidence on national TV before the trial even starts. How do you get a fair shake? I don't know why she's talking like that, but that's how she's talking today. It's like trying to unring a bell, and Taylor wanted more time to figure out how to deal with this hot mess. I mean, she's doing her job. Mm-hmm. I feel this could be out there. What was revealed is no more damning than what's already out there.
Well, and again, you run into that problem of where are you going to find anybody who hasn't heard about this, especially even near that community? Everybody's been affected by this tragedy. So you're going to find people who have been exposed to this case. Have they seen the latest episodes of, it was Dateline, right?
Yeah.
Getting Dateline and Netflix confused. But yeah, maybe not a lot of people have seen the Dateline episode.
I mean, a lot have. We've moved the trial to Boise. There's a lot of people out there. And, you know, people, just because they've seen coverage doesn't mean that they've made decisions about what's going on. Not everybody follows it, you know, as closely as they would be and anybody who's pretty much watching this would be.
Right.
And I think sometimes we forget that. You can go out. I mean, it's interesting. When I'm out sometimes, you know, you strike up a conversation. They, what do? You know, podcasting. Oh, true crime. Oh, I love true crime. And then, you know, like, well, what cases do you follow? They're asking. And I list out some pretty big ones. A lot of times the reaction is, I don't know about that one. Or they know about one that's pretty big, but don't know about another one that's just as big, if not bigger. So, you know, there you can find jurors. You are going to find jurors. It's a lovely attempt to try and draw this out longer, but they're out there. And you know, the longer you wait, the more difficult it's going to be. Prosecutor Joshua Hewitt came out swinging. He accused the defense of running what he called a scorched earth strategy designed purely to delay. His argument was pretty blunt. Pushing the trial back wouldn't make the media go away. The coverage would still be there, whether they tried the case in August or next year. Plus, and this is where it gets interesting, he pointed out that the defense hasn't even proposed a specific alternate date. They just wanted a delay, period. Judge Hippler seemed to buy Hewitt's argument. That's when he dropped that line about, being likely they're going to trial on the scheduled date. No wiggle room, no maybe we'll see, just straight up, be ready for August. Second motion involved an alternate perpetrator theory. Now, this part got interesting because it went into a sealed session, meaning we don't know all the details. What we do know is that Taylor claimed they had new leads from thousands of tips suggesting someone else might have committed these murders. Thousands of tips? Yet everybody else in the ether of the world is like, who? Who from these thousands of tips? But Hippler has been consistent about this. He wants actual evidence rather than just allegations. You can't just throw theories at the wall or give him the thousands of tips that have come in and say, here, you make sense of all of this. When majority of tips that come into lines like this are nothing at all. But you got to look. And if you got to find something, that's probably a decent place to start. So let's see what sticks. What makes the hearing particularly significant is how it played out against the backdrop of the leak investigation. That Dateline episode has Hippler fired up enough that he's ordered an investigation into how sealed information ended up on national television. The defense characterized these leaks as carefully curated to promote the narrative of guilt, and they're pushing for consequences. There's even talk of appointing a special prosecutor to look into it. Here's the thing, though, even with all of the complications, even with the defense's protests about tainted jury pools and leaked evidence, Hippler isn't budging on that trial date. His message to both sides is clear. Continue as if the trial is going to take place when it is scheduled. The timing matters. Jury selection is set for July 30th. That is, as of this airing, just over a month away.
Hard to believe we're here.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, this has always been off in the future for so long, and now we're creeping up to it.
It's happening. The trial itself begins August 11th and could run through November 7th. They're doing it in Boise, about 300 miles from Moscow, hoping distance will help them find jurors who haven't been completely saturated with coverage. They'll pick 8 alternates, given how high-profile the case is, and the whole thing will be live-streamed with some restrictions. What really stood out from this hearing wasn't just what was said, how it was said. Hippler's tone suggested he's done with the delays. The families of Kaylee Gonzalez, Madison Mogan, Zanna Kernodle, and Ethan Chapin, they've been waiting since November of 2022 for justice. Steve Gonzalez, Kaylee's father, has been vocal about his frustrations with what he calls the hamster wheel of motions. You can feel that frustration reflected in Hippler's handling of these latest delay attempts. The defense team left that courtroom knowing that they need to shift gears from trying to delay to actually preparing for trial. Whether they're ready or not, whatever the jury pool is tainted or not, whether those leaks compromised their client or not, none of that is stopping this train from coming to the station. August 11th of 2025, Brian Koberger will face a jury for the murders of 4 University of Idaho students. And the DoorDash driver?
I was just going to ask about her.
Who says that she saw Koberger at the scene, the one whose story broke just before the hearing. She's going to be part of this trial. It is her. That is the woman from the other day. Those 13 minutes between her delivery at 3:59 a.m. and the alleged murders could be the most important 13 minutes in the entire case. The defense filed documents saying Koberger had no connection to any DoorDash driver, but ready or not, she's now part of this. The hearing wasn't about dramatic revelations or shocking evidence. It was about a judge putting his foot down and saying enough is enough. All the motions, all the delays, all the complications. The message from June 18th was simple. This trial is happening, and it's happening in August. Both sides better be ready, because Judge Stephen Hippler certainly is. Yeah, about that DoorDash driver.
You know, there's something striking that pops into my head.
She's been through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. Her husband was murdered in front of her. She's had some trauma, and then add this on top of it. So
yeah, and she's about to get pulled through the ringer because they're going to try to discredit her and use her past trauma as reasons for why she's not competent. And she's about to go through some hell.
Yeah.
Whether she witnessed this or not, or saw him there, boy, her life isn't going to be the same after this trial.
Whatever is in those police reports will be very interesting to see, or her testimony when she was interviewed in detail. I'm hoping that somewhere along the line, in that testimony, not just in that jailhouse the other day, or that was actually last year, but we just finally saw it the other day, that she did say to someone that she saw him in that parking lot. Because if that's the only place that this has come out now, that ain't good. That's not going to fly.
No.
And it doesn't discredit all the other evidence in this case. But is that something, if that's the only place it's come out in, will, you know, I don't know. Could be a star witness, but there's a lot of baggage there. And it's not her fault. She's been exposed to a lot of trauma and stuff. But you got to weigh those options when it comes to what is the jury going to believe? You don't want to just introduce things that may cause doubt when you're thinking it's your slam dunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your life can just change in a heartbeat. If you witness a crime and you get called to the stand, if you end up being a witness, mm-hmm. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Like your entire life gets scrutinized and all you did was witness something.
And you know, there's a lot of ways that this could play out where maybe she did actually see him. Maybe it's just, maybe she did say it to somebody else and it's on record and it's sealed and we don't know about it. That would be the best option. It's not, and you just went through your husband being shot in front of you, you're delivering DoorDash at 2 a.m. or 4 a.m, whatever it was, and that's life, and you discover that now you could possibly be the key witness in one of the largest murder cases in the country. And you don't want your life put under a microscope. I don't know. You may just say, even if you recall it a little bit after that, thinking back, like, yeah, I did see that car there. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I want to go say that. I don't know that I want to volunteer and give more testimony to what I saw or didn't see. I could see you just holding that one in for your own. I mean, granted, it is, you know, pretty much the groundbreaking testimony in the whole case, but your life is also going to be picked apart if you are the one that has that knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah. And it takes a lot for a person to come forward and say, I've got some really valuable information, because they know how they're going to get just shredded.
Cause I could see it, like your first thing you testify to is, you know, here's, and you don't bring it up, or you're still kind of processing it. But then you start to get to false memory stage too. You know, if you didn't see it, you didn't test, like that would be I'm sure she was asked, was anybody else there? Did you see any other cars in the parking lot? And if she answered no at the time, that first recollection is usually the best recollection. After the fact, and you've heard about this white Elantra and you're thinking about it more and more, yeah, your brain could say, oh yeah, maybe that was a white Elantra. And then your friends start asking you and you're telling them, I was the DoorDash driver. Well, did you see anything? Like, I might have.
Maybe I did.
Maybe I did. And then the next few times, did you see anything? Yeah, I think I saw his car there. I saw him. And it's not because you're lying. It's because it's a false memory. Your brain is putting things in there, and you think you're just seeing clearer. No, you're not. It's actually, that's just how our brains work.
And your brain fills in the gaps because you've got some gaps. Like, I don't know what cars I saw there that night, but now everybody's telling me there was a white Elantra there. Yeah, maybe I did see something like that.
I'm not calling her a liar. I'm not saying she made anything up. I don't think any of it's conscious. Or was she just saying that in that moment to gain sympathy while she was talking to the woman in the jail? Could that have been it too? Just to, you know, sometimes you embellish your story to get more effect. Could that have simply been it? No matter any way you play it, it doesn't look like a really slam dunk for the prosecution on this witness.
No, but boy, when you take a look at all the other things.
Oh, completely. I mean, I think he's guilty of sin, of these crimes that he allegedly committed, but you can't just put every single piece of evidence out there and think it's going to do the same thing. You can poison your own thing of evidence by putting a bad piece in there. Even if it once was good, even if it really could have been okay, had it, you know, been made correctly at the factory. But if it wasn't, then, you know, you don't want to throw that in there. And I'm not trying to compare it to, you know, factory item or something. I'm just saying, had she come through, if she came through right away and said it, great, she's a good witness. If that did not happen, any of the others, B or C, I don't know. I think they'd have to really tread lightly on that.
Well, and their job, the defense's job, is to poke holes. And they've got a lot of places they can poke some holes in her theory.
Well, they could, you know, it would have to be admitted into evidence. But if, you know, this is where she first admitted this, hope it's not. I mean, that video itself would be part of evidence.
Yeah.
If that's the first and only place she admitted it, that's a big if. We do not know that. It could be under seal.
It's a good point.
So that's all there. You don't want your star witness to be in that sort of a state, though, if she's going to be a star witness. But she's listed as MM on the thing, and you can find her identity out there if you do dig a little bit deeper, but...
And again, this is a person who's dealt with a lot of trauma and horrific life experiences that most of us have not dealt with.
Yeah.
And now she gets to be traumatized some more by just a horrific trial.
Yeah. I hope that she's able to kind of get to a hopefully maybe she is already, because this video took place a while ago. Maybe she is in a better place. I hope she is, because the scrutiny is going to start coming hard and fast very soon. So I just hope she's ready for it.
Do you think we're going to have the same factions of people like we had for Karen Reed? Do you think there's going to be a free Brian Koberger group?
There is some, but I don't think you're going to have it to anywhere near the volume.
No cheering outside the courtroom.
Don't see that.
No pink shirts.
I don't see that happening in this case, but hey, the world's a crazy place right now. I mean, I have seen comments on YouTube, you know, about Koberger being innocent. They're not really backing it up with anything. But, you know, half of it is a slogan war. Who yells the loudest, who screams the most, sometimes wins the battle in court.
Well, and in this country, for now, you are innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
You know, it needs to be decided in a courtroom. But... It doesn't look great right now.
No, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in this case. Let me know in the comments section what you think about this case, where you think it's heading, what you think about this witness, what you think about the rulings. And tell us on YouTube, press subscribe wherever you are downloading or listening to the podcast so you don't miss any of the stories we follow for you right here. There you go. Until next time, for Stacey, I'm Tony. We'll talk again real soon.
Craving non-stop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.